We look ahead to the Giants on the back of that round five. GWS unbeaten, knocked us out of the finals last year, of course, at the MCG, and looked impressive that day. 1:45 Saturday game, so we have a 6-day break into a 5-day break. We've got the Bulldogs on a Thursday the following week, but more on that later. In terms of changes, you would think that Windhager for Caminiti, and I think because just looking at their structure last week, they tried to play Caminiti as a second ruckman. It didn't really work, which meant that he had to stay forward, which meant that Sharman had to stay higher up the ground, which didn't necessarily suit him either.
He was okay, though, put a bit to be of press.
He was okay, yeah, but he was good, but I don't think they wanted to play him there, so they could just mess the structure up. King had to stay forward. Marshall rucked the whole way through. Owens in the midfield. So I just think getting Windhager back in there, Sharman had played forward, Caminiti goes out. The only other change I could see them making is they might feel Hasty needs a run after limited minutes as a sub. So whether it's Garcia or Collard or something like that, would be about all I'd see. Yeah,
or whatever pulls up as well after some training, because he looked like he was in some fair pain. Like I said earlier, I think I was surprised they didn't sub him out at that point, because it looked like he was in real pain and real trouble. And the fact that they brought him back on and then waited another kind of 20 minutes of play to bring Hasty on for Zach Jones was really surprising. It could be
he must have mentioned
to give Hill a rest on Monica.
Yeah, he must have mentioned to him saying, look, no, it's not some sort of joint or something. It was just a big whack across the leg, and that can really hurt at times too. It's you've ever kicked the table or something with your shin, and it can be quite painful for a short while. So luckily that seems to be the thing. But I brought up before, Dougal Howard, if he passes training Thursday, there's a possibility that he could play. Does he come in at all, do we think, or?
Yeah, I mean, they might look at the final last year, which was, you mentioned Zane Cordy's hasn't played many bad games. It was probably the only time I've seen him beaten was the final against the Giants last year, and Howard was available then, and that was obviously we had the Membry situation, and they played Caminiti, and if they had their time again, Cordy might have played forward and Howard played back. So I still think you'd want Howard to have a run in the Scoobs before he comes up. So, and then whether, Paddy Dow's right to play VFL this week and plays a game or two down there, we'll see. But
it's interesting. Yeah, the Dougal Howard one's an interesting one, because I think it was Rory Sackville, who we've spoken to on the podcast before, I think called in one of our live episodes or potentially last year.
He did,
before. Mentioning it in a WhatsApp group with Rory and a bunch of other Saints fans. And he did mention that the difference between Dougal Howard was he had a full preseason. It was only in the last quarter or second half of that final preseason game where he had that the tightness or the pain or whatever, and that was kind of it. But he had a full preseason, unlike some of the other guys like Paddy Dow or Hunter Clark or whatever, that have kind of struggled to get through preseason. Dougal Howard had a full preseason, and so it shouldn't take much if he's training well to get him back into the seniors. And it might just be he needs, one or two decent, training sessions to get him back in the team. But he's not that far away.
Yeah, and that's it's a good dilemma to have, because we've been thinking there was only two options, et cetera, to make any changes in the last few weeks. So just to get some soldiers back is important. Obviously, Toby Green escaped suspension. The AFL forgot this week that it was all about preventing the action, which is exactly why Max King was suspended against Collingwood, because they wanted to discourage players from committing actions that might injure somebody, and they just forgot about that this week. And a player that's been suspended 8,000 times, they decided not to this week. But that's the way it goes, I guess. We can lament our misfortune, but that's sort of the way it tends to fall. Look, they're clearly a very good side, possibly the best side in the competition, or probably the best side in the competition as it stands at the moment. But it is still a fairly even competition. We beat them there last year. That was just before they went on the run. We've beaten them there a few times of late, but clearly they're humming along. Their midfield's in really good form with Tom Green and even youngsters like Finn Callahan and obviously the veterans in Canelio and Kelly and those sorts of players. The big fella Briggs in the rucks, you know, a good challenge for Marshall. Their defence is superb, led by Taylor. And then obviously Hogan, Riccardi, Brown, Green, Bedford, those sorts of players forward. So a very good side, but I was kind of thinking about it a little bit during the week that we had a bit of margin for error against Richmond in that we were terrible for large parts of the game, but were good enough to wrestle our way through. Playing a side like the Giants, you have less margin for error, so you can make less mistakes. You've got to be more efficient. You don't have as much room to waste inside 50s or to turn balls over in the middle of the ground and those sorts of things. So it's not to say you have no margin for error, you just have less. So you've clearly got to be sharper for longer, but it's not an impossible game to win. Like, clearly we're the underdogs in it because we're down at some personnel and they're probably humming along as the premiership favourites as it stands now. But if we do execute properly, we have enough match winners that we are a chance to win the game without a shadow of a doubt. So that's kind of the way I look at it, that we can't be as rough around the edges as we were against Essendon and Richmond. But if we are as dangerous as we were against Collingwood, for example, then we give ourselves a chance.
The one thing that worries me, I think, is the – I think maybe we underestimated the impact of missing Jimmy Webster. And I really felt like in that first half last week, we missed Jimmy Webster. It was your Shai Boltons and your Dustin Martins and, you know, this kind of small, medium-sized forwards that you know, really with speed and toughness and skill, obviously, with the ball in hand, that kind of really hit us hard. And I know that GWS have Hogan and Cadman as big bodies up forward, but they've got a bunch of smalls as well that hit the scoreboard really regularly. And I feel like Jimmy Webster is someone who would be so important in this one. I know Liam Stock has been really serviceable. I think he's been pretty good for us this year in Webster's absence, playing a really defensive role that potentially is not as suited to. But yeah, this would be Jimmy Webster would be a really good player to be able to bring back this week for this forward line. And it's just a shame. You know, obviously, he's got to pay the price for an action that we don't want to see anymore. But I feel like we potentially underestimated the impact that missing Jimmy Webster would have on our defense over these first couple of weeks.
Yeah. Yep. I think that's certainly been the case. Yeah.
Yeah. We kind of don't really have a like for like. That's the thing. I mean, Bonner came in and plays a role, but not the role that
not a lockdown. Jimmy plays.
Similar to Jack Sinclair type.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just, yeah, you just don't have that replica, I guess, to bring in that Patton may have been able to do a little bit of it.
He would have been the one, but yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, we just don't have that player available at the moment. And it's just going to have to find a different way to beat him on the day. And that's beating him further up the ground rather than trying to beat him 30 metres out from goal. Just try to keep him away from it. Don't give him space. Don't give him the opportunity to just run off you and pop up in a spot where when you've lost him. Someone just has to stick with him on the day and just make it as hard as possible to actually get the ball, because he can't be damaging without the ball. And that's it's as simple as we can make it. Just deny. And yeah, hopefully that's how we can try and beat him, because simply he's if he fires up, we're in trouble. Simple.
Yeah, and look, he hasn't ripped us a new one, generally speaking. He's always dangerous and usually kicks a few, but I can't remember times where it's like, shit, he's ripped this completely away from us on his own. But look, those matchups in the past might be part of the reason for that. Jesse Hogan's in super form, but I feel like we can handle, you know, key position forwards okay with our stocks. That's not to say they won't have an impact. It's just what happens at ground level. And their class on the outside sliced us up in the final last year. So hopefully there's been a bit of homework on, you know, locking down some of that outside speed and things like that. So very good side. But, I mean, it's been actually quite remarkable, their transformation. They went from a bottom four side in the middle of last year to 3 weeks later being one of the best sides in the comp, and they've stayed that way with the same group. Yeah. So
They probably should incredible have won last year.
Probably, and I'd say so. I mean, they were about to beat Collingwood in the prelim, and they probably would have won the grand final given how well they were defending as well. It's a credit to Adam Kingsley for what they've been able to do. But look, we go up there, you know, up against it to a degree, but we're a, you know, it's a final side playing a premiership contender, so you're a chance. And we'll see where it lands from there. But the other way is that we dropped a game against Essendon that we never should have lost, and our belief as soon as the siren sounded there was, oh, we've got to pick one up somewhere now. We were favourites against Richmond, so that doesn't count. You've got to pick one up which you're not expected to win. So like this, or Port Adelaide away, or Sydney or Melbourne at the MCG or something like that. You've got to get one back. Yeah. So this is our first chance to get one back.
There's only two teams that are unbeaten, you know, after four or five weeks, depending on who you've played and what you've played.
Yeah.
But all it says really, I mean, if you're in the coaching group, you know, this week, you're talking about how the Giants are due. You know, they're going to have a loss. No team's going to go through the season unbeaten. That would be unbelievable, and the odds of that happening are so rare that for the next few weeks, and you know, until they have a loss, they're due. And so why not us? We've shown that when we play our best footy that we can compete with the best teams in the league. You know, we've shown that over the last 18 months. So why not? If we turn up and we play our footy, we play our game style, we play, you know, Saints footy, that we can be competitive.
Just some listener questions that relate a bit to selection. So I'll ask the questions in the hope that we've already answered some of these. Stuart says Dougal or Cordy. Hopefully we've addressed that for you, Stu. Patrick asking if Butler still has a place in the team, issues over preseason, but speed is non-existent. Did mention that hopefully he'll work back into it, but he was tempted with Collard maybe to get a game there. Chad asking who Windy comes in for. Look, Windy for Caminiti is probably the one. Not sure Hayes would play yet, given the VFL didn't play last week, but you never know. A couple of others. Mateus had thoughts on Garcia for Burns, similar to your talk around Burns with the Shannon Knoll, but I think Garcia would be more likely to play as a sub in place of Hasty. And a couple of others. So John says, when you tell the supporters you've been working on connection all year and it still looks like trash, who's to blame? I don't think it's looked like trash all year. It struggled on Sunday, but I think, look, our connection against Collingwood was elite. It's just been a bit inconsistent, I guess. And the last two, H, Bobber says, Zach Jones is a liability three quarters of the time. When he finally hit a target with a kick in the third quarter, I drank an entire bottle of tequila. Please discuss. Discussing the tequila or Zach Jones? I assume Zach Jones. But,
Did he have a last quarter?
Does he have a recommendation for tequila or have a hookup?
Yeah,
which manufacturer is the brand? Yes.
Jones has a position in the team. There is a position there for him. We don't always seem to get the best of what we probably could from him, but we got to remember how much he missed last year. He's kind of still getting into the Ross game, I would suggest, a little bit. He's still getting there, but Ross wouldn't be playing him if he didn't have a role. And that's the simple way. We know if a player is playing, Ross has a role for them. And he'd be dropped if he wasn't playing it. And we can put that to bed straight away going, look, he's obviously doing what he's been asked. And, yeah, and we don't know what his role is particularly, but, yeah, it's as simple as that.
I think we talked about it last week. I think that it's just – he's a point of difference, right? Like, we do have generally a fairly pedestrian midfield group. You know, there's a lot of players that have similar kind of pace profiles and running profiles. Obviously, bringing Wilson in, it gives us a different ability. The ability to run Owens and Filippo gives us a different look, but they're not ready for full-time midfield duties just yet. Zach Jones gives us a toughness and a burst out of stoppage that just about no one else in our midfield group does. And no, he's not perfect. Yes, we know that there's disposal efficiency issues and whatever, but there is a point of difference that he brings to our lineup that no one else does. And so that's his spot, I think.
And he sits under the footy and has taken some hits and some courageous marks. And I mean, I think he's building back to fitness and he's been okay. So you're not too disappointed with that. And the final one from Toby, just asking about realistic expectations over the next few weeks with injuries. If I look at the fixture, I think 4-4 after 8 games is an acceptable position to be in. Our draw gets better after that. And I think 4-4, even 5-5 after round 10 gets us a good opportunity to launch from there with players available. So I would take maintaining a 50-50 run through this sort of first half of the year and with an expectation that we've got a chance to build better than that after the halfway point. So some might consider that to be aiming low, but I think that keeps us in the fight, to be honest. Well, so
our second half fixture is better than the first half.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
And you wanted this to be 3-3 last year, and what did we do? And
hopefully let's get to 3-3 and we'll 5-1.
Hopefully you can curse the same way.
after the Giants, we've got the Bulldogs at Marvel, Port in Adelaide, North at Marvel,
then North,
and Hawthorn in Tassie.
Then Freo at Marvel.
That's right. So none of them, like, you look at North and you go, well, that should be a gimme, but we know that we don't have that historically. We don't have gimmies. But you imagine if you can get through and you can beat, you know, the Bulldogs at Marvel, because we should be beating the Bulldogs at Marvel. Port in Adelaide is a tough one because we never can beat that mob and they're awful. We should beat North. We should beat Hawthorn, but we should have beaten Hawthorn last year. And like this, they're pretty good, Hawthorn. Like, I like the way they're going.
Yeah, no easy. No easy game. So, I mean, Freo at Marvel, again, you'd look at it on paper and think, why not? But they're going pretty well. So, I mean, if the expectation is, if you look at it in isolation, that we're underdogs in the two games against the Giants away and Port away, and we play the Bulldogs and North at Marvel, you would expect to beat North, not a given. If you beat the Bulldogs but lose the two interstate games, you're 4-4. And then, obviously, if you pinch one of those interstate games, super, you lose the Bulldogs game, you fall behind the eight ball. So, simplifying it like that, that's kind of what it looks like. But you know, first step Giants, if you beat them, that entire equation changes. And why not? Played them in a final last year and, you know, stood toe to toe at a national anthem. We were there, and obviously they've kicked on a bit, but bring it on. We've got to get that game back somehow. And thanks for tuning in. Thanks to Brewster Brusel too. That was one of our favourites, and a big go Saints.
Quick shout out just at the end for Ross, who finally, after a long time, coaches his 150th game for St Kilda this week. There's only one coach in our 150-year history that's coached more games than Ross Lyon, and that is Alan Jeans, the only man who's won the premiership, and Ross Lyon is the closest to have gotten there since. So well done, Ross Lyon.
And to put that in perspective, he's 150 games as coach. He's won 91 of them. So
he's got the best winning percentage of any St Kilda coach over the course.
So, tremendous strike rate. And obviously there should be a couple more in there and some trophies. But hopefully he can lead us to the promised land as Finey predicted in our episode a few weeks back. But onwards and upwards. If you haven't jumped on our socials, jump on it and like all of those. And good luck wherever you're watching this week.